Please open your Bibles to the New Testament, to Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as we will begin reading at verse 23 to the end of this chapter. Then we'll confess our faith, and after that we'll sing from Psalter number 109, the verses 3 and 4. So first then, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 34, then confession of faith, and then Psalter 109, 3 and 4. Hear then God's holy word, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. So far then the reading of God's holy word. Let us now also confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and let us say in our hearts, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe on Holy Catholic Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our text for this afternoon, as we prepare ourselves for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, is to be found here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then verse 28 in particular, where we have the following: But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. A very well-known passage that speaks about preparing ourselves for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Now, congregation, I was recently reminded of the necessity of good preparations. It was at the Festival of Praise of our Heritage Christian School musicians who were assembled in preparation for a performance. At a certain point, the director, Mr. Van Dyke, the director, he informed the various musicians to warm up their instruments, particularly the instruments, string instruments, and those that you blow on. And so they started preparing themselves and heard all kinds of different noises. But anyway, they all got the right notes eventually. And so that for the purpose that they would be able to harmonize. And that is indeed what happened, because the performance was one harmonious and wonderful concert. And we are very thankful that, and no doubt you also have that in this area as well, we are thankful for young musicians who have the gift of such performances, and to bring praise to the Lord our God. Now, this particular preparation that those musicians were told to engage in reminded me of the necessity of proper preparations for the celebration of the Lord's Supper as well. Because our hearts too, they need to be prepared, they need to be warmed up, they need to be put in tune for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Our hearts too, they need to be in tune with the Lord our God in the first place, but they also need to be in tune with our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that there is the highest possible harmony between each one of us on such an occasion. Well, such preparation is to be accomplished according to the Word of God. How? Well, not by blowing on various musical instruments or tightening up the strings on your violin or guitar, but by way of self-examination. By way of self-examination. And we have our text this hour that tells us so precisely. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so, as theme for this hour, God's call to warm up in preparation for the Lord's Supper. That's our theme. Now, congregation, in the year 1665, a Puritan by the name of Thomas Watson, and I trust you are not strangers to the Puritans. And the reason for that is because I'm going to say more, particularly of what Thomas Watson has said about the Lord's Supper and the preparations for it. But in the year 1665, Thomas Watson wrote what is now known as a Puritan paperback with the title The Lord's Supper. That's the title of that particular book. And I can warmly recommend it to your reading, if possible, this weekend. In this booklet of some 85, 86 pages, he expressed the high view of the Lord's Supper, first and foremost, the meaning of how one should prepare him or herself for the Lord's Supper, and also how the Lord's Supper should be celebrated as well. So you can understand, a very important little booklet, good for our reading. He says some beautiful things in this particular booklet, and I'm going to quote Thomas Watson several times in the span of this message, and so bear with me. Some of it is a little bit antiquated language, but I think all of us will put our mind in gear and we'll be able to understand it. And here's one of the first quotes from Thomas Watson then. If we come to this sacrament, that is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, in due order, after proper preparations, we shall see Him whom our soul loves. Now, but what drew my attention to reading this particular book is the seven pointers that he set out very clearly for preparation and for our self-examination. And I would like to take those seven pointers, and so, no, I'm not going to copy the book, of course. Obviously, I need to speak my own words. But I'm going to use the seven pointers, at least, as Thomas Watson has laid them out so nicely, and I will add details to those seven pointers. So if you think that it was just a theme and no points, yes, I've got 7 points this hour. Watson asked the following question: how should we be rightly qualified and prepared for the Lord's Supper? And then the answer follows, and I quote, "If we would come with prepared hearts, we must come with self-examining hearts." Now, here's our first pointer. You must come with self-examining hearts. Notice what the Word of God says here in our text. But let a man examine himself. That means that we're not called upon to examine other people. We're not called to judge other people. We are not called to find fault with other people. But we are to examine ourselves. And that may not be such an easy thing to do, you see. Because it's so hard to find something wrong with ourselves, isn't it, and to admit to it. It's so easy to say, particularly in view of the Lord's Supper, I'm okay. I've lived the right way and so on. I've kept all the commandments. I'm okay. But are you okay? Are you okay? Have you kept all the commandments? Also the commandment of loving God and loving our neighbors ourselves. So, you see, it's also rather easy to excuse one sin or the other, or to overlook one sin or the other in ourselves. We won't do that with others, but we'll overlook it easily with ourselves. Now, the Greek word for examine is taken from the work of a goldsmith. He heats up the gold to a liquid state so that all the impurities rise to the surface, and then he makes it possible, then it is possible for him to remove these particular impurities from the surface. Now, this is also how you and I are called to examine ourselves. We are to be diligent in this, and we are to be very close to looking at the various impurities in our life. And we are to be ready then also to remove those various impurities from our life. In other words, we need to admit that we're not so okay and that we have sinned. And so we must come with self-examining hearts. The second pointer from Thomas Watson is that you must come with serious hearts. One of the reasons why you and I, we as Free Reformed people, why we do not celebrate the Lord's Supper every Sunday is because if we would do that, it would become such a normal thing for us that it is nothing exceptional anymore. And this is what has to happen, you see, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It should remain exceptional. It should remain something that is special for us. It is a special kind of celebration. And so we have it not every week, but we have it every 3 months, normally. And that also means that our heart will be more inclined to take time to examine ourselves on the issues that lie before us this afternoon. The Lord's Supper is, and the Lord's Supper should remain, a special event for each one of us. It should remain a holy event for each one of us. The Lord's Supper celebrations, therefore, they should be highlights in our ecclesiastical year. They should be events that we want to look forward to, and we should look forward to it with a good measure of anticipation as well. Thomas Watson says, and I quote, "We are to consider that God's eye at the Lord's Supper is especially upon us when we approach his table." End of quote. And such, you should not be in a light or in a flippant manner about attending. You should not consider it a common thing. You should not consider it to be the right that you have coming to the table of the Lord, but rather that it is a highly privilege, divine permission that God gives to you to attend, because you belong to Christ. The Lord, therefore, does require from each one of us a measure of seriousness as you attend. Now, to keep matters in balance, we must keep in mind that the Lord's Supper is not a funeral, but it is a celebration. Nevertheless, a holy seriousness is most desirable for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. We must come with serious hearts. Pointer number three. You must come with intelligent hearts. With intelligent hearts. Now, a new thing has developed in some of the Reformed circles, and which is labeled as pedo-communion. Pedo is a Greek word for child, which means that children, even children the age of 6, 7, or 8, are then also permitted to attend the Lord's Supper. That is called pedo-communion. We do not practice pedo-communion, and that on biblical grounds. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29 says the following, or tells us that those who are not able to discern the Lord's body cannot attend. Those who are not able to discern the Lord's body. This means that you who attend the table of the Lord must be able to have and to have some understanding what the Lord's body is all about and what the Lord's body has endured, as we heard about this morning, for instance. But what the Lord's body has endured when He, the Lord Jesus Christ, suffered lifelong and then particularly on the cross, you see. And what the Lord's body now means for you who wish to partake of the Lord's Supper. Our church order stipulates it in the following way. And let me just quote our church order, article number 61, as follows. None shall be admitted to the Lord's Supper except those who, according to the regulations of the local church, have made confession of faith and are reputed to be of a godly walk. Children certainly can be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And what a joy it can be to parents and to grandparents to notice this on their children or grandchildren, that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, such children may not necessarily have a clear understanding or discernment about the Lord's body as yet. And such understanding will come by age and also by Bible, catechism, and confession of faith instructions. And again, I want to quote Thomas Watson as follows. There ought to be a competent measure of knowledge that we may discern the Lord's body. We must know God the Father in His attributes, God the Son in His offices, and God the Holy Spirit in His graces. Now, I just want to remind our Confession of Faith students, who I have had the pleasure of teaching, this is what we're going to be talking about and have been talking about. Remember that we spoke about the Father's attributes, the Son's offices, and yes, also something about the graces of the Holy Spirit. We must therefore, when we attend the Lord's Supper, we must attend with intelligent hearts. Now, again, this calls for some preparations on your part to broaden your intelligence, dear people. And to be honest, there is always room to increase in our intelligence in regard to the Lord, isn't there? This is why during the days of preparation for the Lord's Supper, it is good to spend some extra time in the Word of God. And you will also do well to read a few other books as well that speak of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ or with the meaning of the Lord's Supper. And again, the booklet that I've mentioned already, The Lord's Supper by Thomas Watson, is an excellent read. And for the librarian of this church, or librarians, keep in mind as well that there's another excellent book by J.W. Alexander, which is simply called Remember Him, another good book to read. And another one written by Ashton Oxenden, The Earnest Communicant, or some other Reformed book on the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That means that we need to take some extra time, dear people, and do that this week. Take some extra time to read the Word of God or read one or the other book that pertains to the celebration of the Lord's Supper, because we must come with intelligent hearts. Pointer number 4. You must come to the sacrament with longing hearts. I want to give you an example. Imagine your wife or your mother or a friend preparing a lavish meal for you, just for you. She's been slaving to make everything just right for you. The best foods have been prepared in the most tasteful manner. The most wonderful and delicious delicacies have been brought to the table for you. And it is all prepared and it is all brought together in love. But as the time arrives for you to sit down at the table, you have decided you have no appetite. Why is it that you have no appetite? Well, unless the cook has been terribly mistaken into what you like and what you need, the reasons for no appetite is probably because, well, you have been snacking on chips or on peanuts or some fast foods. And therefore, if you wish to honor the cook and her labors of love, you must come to the table with a great appetite, with a real appetite. And as such, you must therefore keep yourself from any sort of snacking. Now, this is also how it is with the table of the Lord as well. You must come with a real appetite. You must come with a longing heart to receive what can be received at the table. Therefore, consider what labor of love the Lord Jesus Christ has put into the Lord's Supper, dear people. And again, I want to quote Thomas Watson. And listen carefully, because he uses some beautiful words here. Consider the magnificence and royalty of the supper. It is a heavenly banquet. Under these elements of bread and wine, Christ and all his benefits are exhibited to us. This sacrament is a repository and storehouse of celestial blessings. Behold, here life and peace and salvation are set before us. All the sweet delicacies of heaven are served at this feast. So far to quote Thomas Watson. Therefore, you and I, we are called to stir up a real appetite in us by thinking on these things, by being careful not to snack from things that the world has to offer. Now you might ask, well, what are some of the things that we would call snacks? Well, again, let me give you some examples. The preoccupation with making money. The preoccupation with sports. And no, I'm not against sports at all. But the preoccupation with sports. Or preoccupation with movies. Or video games. Or the sneak looks at porn. Or the indulgence in drugs or alcohol. You and I, we need to consider all of them snacks that will take away your spiritual appetite. And unless you curb such snacking, in some cases you need to eradicate them from your life, but unless you curb such snacking, you are not prepared for the Lord's Supper properly. Besides, in order that you come with longing hearts, consider your need as well to be fed and to be nourished at the table. Because the journey of life can be very difficult and can easily drain you of your strength. I'm thinking, for instance, of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. By the way, have you read it lately? C.H. Spurgeon recommended that you would read Pilgrim's Progress at least once a year. Anyway, this book is a narrative, and it is at the same time a commentary of the Christian's journey of life towards the celestial city, that is the New Jerusalem, or as you could also say, heaven. It's a journey towards it. But look at the experiences that are to be had on such a journey. And I'm thinking now of Pilgrim's Progress. He had to fight against bosom sins. He had to resist all sorts of temptations. He had to take on the enemies. He has had to circumvent a number of dangers as well. He sometimes had to backtrack even because of neglect on his part in the journey. And for such a journey, dear people, you therefore need to be well fed. You need to be well nourished. As the angel once said to the prophet Elijah, it counts for us, for you and me as well. It is recorded for us in 1 Kings 19, verse 7. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Nothing honors Christ, our host, more than when we come to the table of the Lord with a good appetite and with longing hearts. See to it that this is also the case with you this upcoming week. Point number five. If you would come prepared to celebrate the Lord's Supper, you must come with penitent hearts. Now, what does it mean to have a penitent heart? To have a penitent heart, dear people, means that you know seasons of repentance and sorrow for sin. A penitent heart, you see, means that you are well aware that in time past you have sinned against a good-doing God with your preoccupations, and that it does not sit well with you that you've spent so much time with your preoccupations. Not only that, but you are then also well aware that you might sin against God again sometime, even in the future. And that too does not sit well with you at all. And a penitent heart, therefore, means that you know something of what it means to be a sinner and what it means to repent of your sin. Now, this does not mean that you have to drag your chin on the ground as you go through life. It is not to Christ's honor at all if you live that sort of life, if you make a public display of a penitent heart. A penitent heart is done, as the Puritans would say, in the closet. In the closet. But it does mean that you as a person has therefore learned to confess your sins freely to Him, who forgives freely as well. And it makes going to the Lord's Supper so much more a blessed occasion. Again, Thomas Watson says the following about this. And remember, he says this in direct relation to the Lord's Supper. And I quote, "A broken Christ is to be received into a broken heart. The more bitterness we taste in sin," and listen to this, "the more sweetness we shall taste in Christ." Let me repeat that. "The more bitterness we taste in sin, the more sweetness we will taste in Christ." And so, you and I are called to prepare ourselves to go to the Lord's Supper with a penitent heart. Pointer number six. You must come with sincere hearts. Sincere hearts. Now, with speaking about a sincere heart, Thomas Watson means to say that you must come for the right purpose to the Lord's Supper. You do not come to the Lord's Supper to show others how good and how worthy you are. Our form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper also says something in that same vein. We do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. Well then, what is the purpose for coming to the Lord's Supper, you might ask? If your heart is very sincere about it, you will come to the Lord's Supper to have your faith strengthened and to have your lives stimulated to more holiness. That is really the purpose for coming to the Lord's Supper, to have your faith strengthened and to have your lives stimulated towards more holiness. And therefore, as you examine yourself in the coming days, dear people, in preparation for next Sunday, ask yourself a few questions. Why would I be coming to the Lord's table? What would be my purpose for attending the Lord's Supper? Well, may your answer fall in line with what our form also teaches, that you attend to have your faith strengthened and your lives more holy. That's what our form says. And therefore, ask yourself very honestly, is the strength of my faith not lacking at times? Am I sometimes rather weak in the faith? Is the level of my holiness not questionable at times? Am I sometimes not being preoccupied with snacking rather than what the Lord wants to provide for me? And then answer those questions very sincerely for yourself. Strive therefore to come with sincere hearts. Now lastly, pointer number 7. You must come with hearts fired with love to Christ. And with that, Thomas Watson means that your heart should be burning in love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Burning in love. Because if you sincerely love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will come as well prepared as possible, even according to these instructions that you are hearing this afternoon. You will do everything possible to have your heart warmed and to be in tune, to be in communion with Him and in tune with communion with others. At the same time, you sincerely love Christ. You don't want to stay away from the table of the Lord, do you? If you are in tune with Christ, you don't want to stay away from the table of the Lord. After all, as we heard something of that this morning, it is His love for you that He has made that special sacrifice, and He made that Himself, and He gave His life for you. It is His love for you, you see, that He broke His body and that He shed His blood. It is His love for you that made Him say at one time, as it is recorded for us in Luke chapter 22 and verse 15, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." With fervent desire. That's Christ's side. Now consider, if Christ so loves you, could you, with a clear conscience, stay away when He so wants to commune with you, even with great fervency? Staying away from the Lord's Supper, you see, is really no option at all if you have sincerely confessed the Lord Jesus Christ at one time. Unless, of course, you have not sincerely dealt with your sins, with your indwelling sin. And therefore, prepare to come with hearts burning in love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Thomas Watson says it this way: Would we have Christ's exhilarating presence in the supper? Let us meet him with strong endearments of affections or love. Well then, dear people, these are the 7 pointers given to us by an old Puritan from 1665, whereby you and I may examine ourselves and prepare ourselves for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. You must come with to the Lord's Supper with a self-examining heart, with a serious heart, with an intelligent heart, with a longing heart, with a penitent heart, with a sincere heart, and with a heart burning in love for the Lord Jesus Christ. 7 pointers. I trust you will remember them. You will remember them. Now, I've briefly elaborated on each of those 7 points in order to make it hopefully clear to you. Now you must go home, and you must do your homework, and you must begin with self-examination. And as I said, this is your homework then for this week. And this homework is not given to you by a preacher, but it is given to you by the Word of God, and by God himself, who says here in our text, but let a man, and that means also a woman, let a man, a woman, examine himself, herself, and so let him eat, her eat, of that bread and drink of the cup. Dear people, by the grace of God, do your homework. Do it prayerfully, and you will discover that you will be warmed up, that you will be in tune, and it will be a harmonious and beautiful orchestra, if I may call it this way, and performance. Communion with the Lord, you see, and with his people as you celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.